Episode 155, What's in the Batcave?
Huh?
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian with bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Ben Anderson.
Cave. I'm Ben DiBono.
Oh, we are back.
Yep.
You got me.
Got you there.
That officially messed me up. Well, Ben, welcome back for another episode where we are talking about what's in the Batcave.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Every time that we say what we're going to talk about, I'm like, this was a horrible idea.
I got some good stuff to, well, I have some questions to ask after, but first we should definitely cover what's in the Batcave before we before we get existential about it.
And here's a little backstory. I can't remember what episode. I didn't bother looking up the clip from season one.
We just got that Daniel voicemail.
Okay. Well, we'll play.
Do we want to play it now?
No, we'll do a little editing action. And so, what were we saying? Oh yeah, season one.
Okay.
So I didn't bother going back to season one episodes to try to find out when we had brought up this. But yeah, we've been talking about exploring all these memorabilia items that Batman has.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a pretty good idea until I started looking and realizing most of what I'd be sharing on the show was just information. So I need you to help me create discussion.
Yeah, we're going to have some discussion, but we should get the information out there first and then have the discussion about the information.
Yes, I agree. And let's see. I don't know. I guess we could just do this.
What's in the Batcave? What's in the Batcave?
The Batcave. So, as you know, we're in superhero-themed week. We're part of this sci-fi Christian... Actually, I didn't mean to do that. That's our name. Yeah. This Christian sci-fi geeky podcast...
Hit Sci-Fi Christian Knockoff Week.
No. It's a bunch of podcasts that all have similar themed podcasts.
That's what I said.
They're doing superhero themes. So, yeah. Our first episode in that series is going to be about the Batcave.
So weird. We got to help everyone else.
This is a weird episode.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Ben, when you first heard that we're going to do this episode, what were your first thoughts initially?
Well, it was a couple weeks ago, and I was still really busy at that point. So I was like, okay, I'll just let Matt do all the research for this one.
And I did.
But now I have tons of free time because I've done school and everything. So then I was like, well, maybe I can... You know, throw in a thought or two for this one.
Another thing that brought it back to the forefront of my mind is as I was preparing Take That Science for our news episodes.
Oh, another Daniel voicemail.
Wow.
He's just going to town.
I found out that there was a guy who spent 2+ years and $150,000 building his own Batcave.
I wish I had enough money to do that, though I don't think that's what I would do if I had that money to do it
with. In fact, I wasn't planning on doing that, but let's just do this.
Okay.
Take That Science.
Oh, my.
In today's Take That Science, Chris Weir.
This is going to be one of those episodes, guys, where you just got to roll with it.
Chris Weir, who loves Batman a lot. So, in 2006, when he was house hunting, he had one specific need in mind, a very large basement. His heart was set on building his very own Batcave. Over the course of 2 years and spending upwards of $150,000 in construction, Weir has crafted a space suitable for the $100,000 worth of Batman memorabilia he owns. He has Batman costumes, weapons, comics, all proudly displayed. He even has a Batman-themed grandfather clock that always tells the same time, the moment Bruce Wayne's parents were killed. Most notably, though, is the Shakespearean bust, where the head opens to reveal a button that actually opens a secret panel in the library. Oh, and don't forget the 120-inch movie screen for watching your favorite Batman movies.
Lame, Chris. If you'd been a real fan, you would have looked for a house with a cave, not a large basement. Yeah. Way to trip at the goal line, fella.
Okay, so Ben, here's what I'm going to do with today's episode. Here's my outline.
Okay.
I'm going to read about things that are inside the Batcave. Give you a little backstory on where...
Is this kind of
going
to be a audiobook version of Wikipedia here this afternoon?
No, that's why I need you to help me like keep it fresh.
Okay.
Keep this conversation going.
Keep it fresh.
And I'll give you kind of a little backstory about where did these things come from. I have a bad feeling about this.
Stick with it, people. This is going to be good.
All right, so here's my first thought as I was looking through and preparing.
Don't turn off that iPod.
It turns out Batman is either... really sentimental or just a huge hoarder.
Both.
And here's my reasoning. Because a lot of these artifacts that we're going to talk about, he basically just collected from cases he did in his early days. I mean, even now he still collects them. He has a whole hall of trophies. And I don't know, I never thought of, do you think of Batman as a sentimental guy?
Well, no, not especially. I mean, I know he's got a, he loves Robin. He loves Alfred. Mm-hmm. He loves his mom and dad, but they're dead. He loves his suit. He loves his car.
Yeah.
Loves his house. Loves his friends.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's sentimental about the cases.
All right. So here's what's in the Batcave, Ben. First and foremost, I think when people picture the Batcave, they don't necessarily picture the giant penny or the dinosaur.
I sure don't.
They picture,
those are stupid.
They picture his supercomputer.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what the supercomputer does. Just feel free to jump in here with
anything. Okay.
It permits him to do global surveillance. He connects to a massive information.
Now, are you, let me stop you right here. Are you basing this on the comics?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good question. This is based on not the Christopher Nolan movies.
Okay. Or any of the other movies. You're basing this on?
This is just comics.
Okay.
So we're not doing the animated series. We're not doing any of the Schumacher films. We're just doing the comics.
At least for now. I got some thoughts on those later.
Okay. So the computer connects to a massive information network as well as storing.
Would that be the internet?
Yeah, vast amounts of information. But it's his own personal files because he has files on both his enemies and his allies, Ben.
He does.
He has a series of satellite link-ups which allow easy access to Batman's information network anywhere around the globe. As I was reading this, I was like, is Batman the most powerful man in the DC universe?
Oh, yeah, totally.
His system is protected against unauthorized access, and any attempts to breach the security immediately send an alert to Batman or Oracle.
I'm not a big Oracle fan. I think she's a little lame.
Why?
Well, that was not intentional.
Oh, wow, I didn't even get that. It took me a second.
I didn't get it either until after it was out of
my mouth. Why do you not like her?
It's just, I get tired of Batman and his like bunch of pals, you know.
It's called the Batman family.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little weird.
Okay, well, let me read on.
Who's the mom in the Batman family?
Aunt Harriet.
That's true. That's true.
The cave also features state-of-the-art facilities such as a crime lab, various specialized laboratories, mechanized workshops. I can read. Sort of. Personal gymnasium, a vast library, a parking lot, docking and hangar space for his various vehicles, as well as separate exits for each type. Pretty good, huh? He has a large bat colony, a Justice League teleporter, and a medical facility.
Okay.
This is getting really bad.
Holy crap, does anybody not know who Bruce Wayne is based on all of this? It's like, you could figure this out and be a complete moron. You could figure out Batman's identity so easily based on all of this. We're not even talking that, hey, where's that giant penny going to? You know, we haven't even gotten to that crap yet.
I know, that's basically the reason this episode exists. But I just
the penny?
Yeah, the penny. For real, and the dinosaur. Those are the two things.
I do remember us talking about that. Or I think we asked the question, why is the penny there? And we didn't know. And we went to find out, and then it became an episode.
Here it is. The cave is sometimes powered by a nuclear reactor, but most often by a hydroelectric generator. Made possible by an underground river.
Reactor! You can like track these things down. Why does billionaire Bruce Wayne have a nuke under his mansion? You know, anyone can figure this out.
There was an earthquake in Gotham City.
Yeah.
And after that, he had to redesign the Batcave, and it gave it 8 different levels.
That seems implausible.
There's also a select.
How is he doing? I mean, does he call in construction? It's like, you know this from listen to the first book, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
When the Red Keep is constructed, they talk about this in the history of the realm. Remember. The king who is overseeing it, the Mad King, or no, that wasn't the Mad King, Maegor the Cruel, has all the workers on the Red Keep executed so that they don't know any of the secrets of like secret passageways and everything. Did Bruce do something similar? Because this was not a solo operation.
So he constructed this and then somehow killed all the construction people?
That must be what happened.
Don't you think he could have just got all the Robins to do it for him?
I don't know. They're,
do you think he formed Batman Incorporated just to have builders?
I gotta get to 8 levels! Because Alfred's too old to help him out. And Aunt Harriet just thinks he's fishing.
Yeah. Listen to this.
Does Aunt Harriet actually show up in the comics, or she just...
I think she must have some sort of comic background, but I don't know very much about her.
And what's her relation to Alfred?
None. Friend. I think she's a friend.
Oh, it's not platonic. I mean, you got two single people living there, you know. Somebody's paired up with Aunt Harriet in that family.
Listen to this. There's also a selection of retractable glass maps within the computer platform. Kevlar shielding are prepared to protect the cave's computer system from seismic activity.
Should have thought of that before that earthquake, Bruce.
With the cave's various facilities spread amid limestone stalactites and stalagmites. Batman built retractable multi-walkway bridges, stairs, elevators.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
And poles to access its facilities.
No, he didn't. I mean, this is... okay. This is officially the hidden background of the Batcave. Batman executed a whole slew of workers who helped him construct all this crap. That is the only possible explanation.
There's a
I don't kill unless it's to protect the Batcave.
There's a containment vault solely for Lex Luthor's kryptonite ring. However, it was recently revealed that Batman built another containment facility within the cave for a collection of a variety of forms of kryptonite.
I could see that. I mean, you know, because Superman is just... he's pathetic. And Batman will beat him every time, and this is why.
Ben, we need to do something to liven this up. How about this?
I like it. Nothing like a good countdown.
Yeah.
Welcome
Actually,
to
I think
the
this
Sci-Fi
is going
Christian
better than
countdown
expected.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
God, I want an episode like this every now and then to keep you honest.
Okay, so I was thinking about doing a... let's give me a top 10 countdown. I've got more than 10 things.
Oh my gosh.
But let's I'll be quick about it.
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine.
This is information.
You want to give you, we can do top 14.
Let's do 10 for now because I don't know how many more than 10 I have.
So we'll have some runners up.
Yeah, we'll have some runners up.
Okay. Number 10.
Number 10. He has got some artifacts from the Penguin. So listen to this. The Penguin, as you may know, used to use a lot of umbrellas as his weapons.
Then the DC writers realized that was stupid.
Yeah, so over the years, Batman accumulated a lot of these different weapons and just kept them for himself. But one of the more interesting things he kept from the Penguin is a statue. Some people think it might be actually a robot of a penguin, and it's pretty recognizable. It's been in the Batcave a lot, but it first appeared way back in Batman number 12 from 1942.
Yeah. You think he would have figured out if it was a robot or not.
By now. I think just the viewers don't know.
Oh, okay.
Readers don't know.
Yeah.
But there must be some reason they think it's a robot. So let's just say it's a robot.
Okay.
Because you wouldn't just jump to the conclusion.
Well, that seems like a poor choice to keep that around. You have a robot designed by your enemy.
All of these items are things from the enemies.
Yeah.
It's like he basically took trophies from all of his successful missions.
He is a serial killer.
Oh,
that's
my
totally
gosh.
What serial killers do.
Let's read on.
Okay. Number 9.
I'm holding up fingers.
Okay.
Number 9.
I thought that was like the... Wait.
No.
Nine.
Number 9.
Number 9.
He's got a mummy case. What?
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does. It was... it's all the way back from Detective Comics 158 from 1950. Here's the story quickly. The adventure was called The 1001 Trophies of Batman. Okay, there's this bad guy whose name is Dr. Doom, but not Dr. Doom that we know, a different one.
Yeah, they weren't too fresh with the names.
He kind of did like a Trojan horse type move where Batman thought that this guy was dead, but he actually was hiding in a mummy coffin. And for some reason, Batman wanted to take the mummy coffin back to the Batcave as a trophy.
Theft.
Basically, yeah, because he got it from a loading dock off of Gotham Harbor. And so, he brings it back, and then... bad news, Dr. Doom jumps out and starts using all of Batman's trophies against him.
Oh, because of course, when you steal a priceless artifact, nobody ever tracks that down or anything.
But good news, at the end of this one, Dr. Doom dies and we never see him again. His only appearance.
That's probably a good thing. Does Batman kill him?
Actually, I don't know if this is his only appearance, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, I don't know how he dies. No information on that.
Oh, it's just we don't know how he died. But of course, it could be Batman because he couldn't.
Somebody knows. I just haven't read this. I'm just trying to get the facts.
Well, I'm going to go with the theory that Batman killed him.
Probably.
Yeah. Number 8.
Number 8, he's got... so, he has a lot of giant-sized things. You're going to notice that theme.
Yeah.
And so, this first one is giant-sized big dice.
Huh.
Okay. another story that has to do with Dr. Doom, so it must have happened before he died.
Okay, so Batman, Dr. Doom was in more than one.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that wasn't his first appearance. Yeah, okay. Now we're flashing back 3 years to Batman number 44 in 1947. He was facing off with the Joker, but in the story The Case of the Gamble with Doom, Dr. Doom rolls a big tumbler that has giant dice in it to try to attack Batman and Robin with giant gaming pieces.
That is quite a plan.
Yep. Well, that's all for that one.
Well, let's get a few more giant things out there, and then I have a point to make about that.
Okay.
Number seven.
Number seven is the Red Hood's costume. So now this
Dr.
is
Dr. Doom didn't even get a Wikipedia page. So you really suck, Dr. Doom.
Yeah, he's bad. Yeah. This is not the Red Hood who ended up being Batman's ally. This is the Red Hood who was the Joker. The Joker was originally.
Yes.
Yeah, so he actually. So the Red Hood debuted in Detective Comics 168 from 1951. And for some reason, Batman stole his costume and now keeps it in the Batcave.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's tucked away in a glass case, just like some of his other costumes that we'll find out about later. So I'm ready for the next number.
Number six?
Number six, he has giant chess pieces.
Stupid.
Here's an even funnier part of the story. There's no history to this.
They're just there.
There is no story to it. They first appeared in this story I talked to you about before, the 1001 trophies of Batman as souvenirs. And Batman claims it came from the case of the chess crimes. But that was never in the comics. That does not exist in comics.
So this is strangely plausible to me because Batman rarely sleeps, of course.
Yeah.
He gets hit on the head a whole bunch.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a hero. We all love him, but he's obviously got to be a little loopy. So it's
a little bit, yeah.
You can imagine a conversation between him and Alfred. Bruce, what are you doing? I'm buying a present. What are you buying? A chessboard. You know, and then it shows up, and it's this could have been legitimate.
Well, listen to this. Originally, it was a full chessboard with all the pieces, but it's as time went on, and artists were drawing the back game, it slowly faded away to just a couple of chess pieces, typically the rook, bishop, or knight. But no matter what, even more than the big dice and the Red Hood costume, the chess pieces have appeared in almost all iterations of the Hall of Trophies over the decades.
Oh, my. Number five?
Number five. Guess what other costume he has? The costume of Thomas Wayne's Batman costume.
Wait.
The costume of Thomas Wayne, his dad.
Okay.
For a Halloween party, his dad dressed up as a character called the Bat-Man. I added the hyphen.
Yeah.
Just the Batman. And so this is in a part of an origin story that was added onto. This gave Bruce the idea to dress up like Batman.
That seems implausible. I prefer the other notion that Batman chose this for some deep, fear and everything. Not my dad's Halloween costume. I got to wear that. So that what started out good and started out as he's got something from his dad. And then it got really stupid.
Yeah, listen to this. Detective Comics, number 235, 1956. Bruce Wayne finds a secret door in an old chest containing an old Batman costume. As the memories come flooding back, he remembers how his father, Thomas Wayne, once dressed like a Batman for a costume party and did some crime fighting of his own.
Yeah, that's not plausible. Didn't happen.
There's even more. The costume leads to a discovery of Moxon, the man behind the Wayne family murders, and the solving of that case. Moxon was a man who hired Joe Chill. It turns out that the Wayne murders were not a random robbery.
Come on.
Yes.
Don't screw with that. That's like, You don't just mess with that part of the mythology. Not cool.
It's messed with. I'll take the next one.
Dr. Doom made Crack.com's list of 5 Batman villains too lame to survive a single issue. So there you go.
Well, it seems like he's in at least 2.
Oh, okay. But the point still holds. Number 4.
Number 4 is Jason Todd's Robin costume. Now, we
just Jason Todd. Yeah, just got a body.
We originally mentioned that Jason Todd would eventually become the Red Hood. Kind of a bad guy / good guy. But before that, he was Robin, and he died, killed by the Joker. So, Batman has a glass case where the uniform of Jason Todd was hung up, and it's supposed to be a reminder of failure amidst all of Batman's success. What do you think about this one?
I think it's just another sick, twisted memento, and he probably wears it at night in front of the mirror.
I have a really interesting fact about this.
He likes the tight...
No, stop. Okay. I have a really interesting fact about this.
Okay.
So this case holding Jason Todd's costume
yes.
first appeared in Frank Miller's story, The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
But that story came out before Jason Todd was actually killed.
That is kind of cool.
Yeah. So I kind of like that.
So that's our first item on this list that I'm willing to say, okay, that's legit. And I'm glad it's there. Number two.
I'm not going to give this one a number, okay. But he also he also has a Batgirl costume hanging up, obviously.
He definitely wears that one.
Yeah. Number
three.
Okay, here's where we're starting to get to oversized things. The next three are all giant for no reason. An oversized playing card with the Joker on it.
Stupid.
The Joker card is one of the big three of the Hall of Trophies. It is always there, no matter what and no matter when. But do you think it has a cool backstory?
No.
No, it doesn't. The Joker card, just like the dice...
I thought you were going to defend it.
The Joker card, just like the chess pieces, is a memorabilia without a story.
They just decided to put it in there?
Let me go check and see. Actually, well, it has something to do with Joker, of course. It's just supposed
That's what you think. I mean, again, Bruce Wayne on the internet late at night just ordering random crap. This is very plausible.
I am finding some information here. It looks like in a recent... Oh, there's a recent story called Death in the Family?
That's the one where Jason Todd dies.
No, not Jason Todd. No, what's the recent one where Damian dies?
I don't know.
In that one...
Dead Robin.
The Joker card was said to be from some meeting, and it was discovered in the Batcave, kind of like a sign left by the Joker. So, sounds like a recent...
Just smuggled it in there.
I don't know. That doesn't make much sense.
That is stupid.
Yeah. Oh, listen to this. Oh, this is interesting. In old incarnations of the Hall of Trophies, years, decades ago, it wasn't a card. It was a giant papier-mâché mask of the Joker's face.
Yeah.
But it eventually morphed into what we now see as the oversized playing card hanging from the ceiling.
Wait, I want to back up just a second. So the Joker smuggles this thing into the cave, he doesn't know who Batman actually is.
That can't be true. It must have been. I don't know how it got there.
Oh, it could be true. I mean, that's how ridiculous this stuff gets.
That last fact, you'll have to do your own research on it. It looks like there was some new revelation, but I don't have good notes on it because it was really recent in the last few months. Number
two.
The mechanical dinosaur.
Yeah.
Okay, now this
another robot.
This one has a story. The dinosaur is from Batman 35, 1946. It comes from a story called Dinosaur Island. Now tell me if this sounds familiar. A scientist creates an amusement park complete with robotic dinosaurs.
Yeah. Little Jurassic Park action.
Yeah, which is then taken over by a bunch of crooks, and they put Batman in danger with these giant robots. But here's an interesting fact. Right now, what dinosaur it is? What type of dinosaur
is it? It's a T-Rex.
It is a T-Rex, yeah. But in the original story... Yes, in the original story, it was a Brontosaurus. Because back in 1946, before we knew that the Brontosaurus was an herbivore, they thought that they were violent. And so the Brontosaurus was the original angry dinosaur.
Screw science! I want to see a violent... flesh-eating Brontosaurus in the next Jurassic Park movie.
Oh, and okay. Yeah. Well, in the original King Kong movie, he faced off against a Brontosaurus because, again, they thought back then that they were bad.
Well, how do we really know? I mean, when it comes right down to it.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Dinosaurs aren't even real anyway.
Scientists are just full of crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're never in the Bible. So.
It was in 1948 when an artist named Jim Mooney drew... the T-Rex instead of the dinosaur. So that's Batman 48. Interesting, huh? Are you ready for...
Number one.
Number one, the giant penny.
That's what I figured it
would
be.
My favorite one.
Yeah.
This is like, I feel like, the biggest, no pun intended, like most important thing in the Batcave because it's everywhere. I saw it in the animated series.
Yep.
By doing this research, I found out it's on Earth 1, Earth 2. It's in Batman in the 1940s. It's in the 2011 Batman, not the Christopher Nolan.
Thank God.
It's, like I said, animated. So, guess which villain this is that brought this penny into being?
Two-Face?
A villain called the Penny Plunderer.
Oh, that was way, way, way worse than my guess.
Yeah, a lot of people think it's Two-Face because it makes sense, but it's not. The real story is... that the giant penny comes from World's Finest number 30, which is a 1947 story. Joe Coyne, spelled C-O-Y-N-E, is a man whose life has been cursed by pennies. Listen.
Wait.
Yes.
How does that happen?
Well, let me tell you. As a young boy, everyone around him had dollars, while all he had was pennies.
No! no, this isn't a real
this
comic.
Is true.
This is not real.
When he turns to a life of crime and sticks up a store, the cash register is empty except for a few pennies. Now, it goes on. In jail, he vows to make the penny the symbol of his reign of terror.
Oh my gosh. Yes. How drunk did they have to be to come up with this story? I mean, this is absurd.
This is one where you talked earlier about only having one appearance. This guy was so lame. He only had one appearance in all of Batman.
I wonder if he's on a Craigslist.
Yeah, look for Joe Coyne, the penny plunderer. But I think the trophy that Batman got from his battle is like the most iconic one, I believe. So this is from Detective... Oh, sorry, no. I already told you which one. But listen to this. This is how Batman has used the penny since. In Detective Comics 186, 1952, Batman flies a giant penny in a helicopter to jam a criminal's radio waves.
Yeah. No, he doesn't.
In Batman number 48...
There's no way that's going to work.
In Batman number 48, which we talked about earlier, he uses the giant penny to sever the head of his own mechanical dinosaur... That has been taken over.
What the crap?
That has been taken over by a Batcave intruder.
Okay. Okay. This is not real. Somebody's like totally editing Wikipedia just making this crap up.
Listen to this. In Batman number 348, 1982, Batman and Robin are shown moving the Batcave and having to deal with...
Moving the Batcave?
They have to deal with the transportation and unloading of the giant penny.
Yeah, that's not conspicuous at all when you're driving a giant penny across town. Why are they moving the Batcave?
I don't know what was happening in 1982. Maybe after the earthquake? I don't know when the earthquake was.
That is ridiculous, the earthquake.
So some people think that this giant-sized penny or other giant-sized things are tributes to Bill Finger. And you know, Bill Finger is one of the creators of Batman.
Okay.
This is a weird tribute. He often incorporated oversized objects into his stories. And his giant penny is the most famous.
Okay. This is so stupid. How has this stuff still existed in modern comics? I mean, this is, first of all, there's no way that Batman gets these back to the Batcave. Even if he manages to figure out how, there's no way you just roll a giant penny across town and people don't figure out that you're Batman. It's like, oh, you're rolling that to Bruce Wayne's house. What are you doing there? It's just, these are ridiculous. These are ridiculous.
Yeah.
It makes me like Batman less hearing all this nonsense.
I've got six additional ones with no notes. So okay. I'll tell you what they are. So you're ready? Let's do a countdown again. Hold on 1 second.
Number six.
Sorry. We got to do this. I'll even do the one with your voice.
All right.
Where you get to say your own name.
I love that. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
Featuring Ben DiBono.
And Matt Anderson.
Okay, Ben, for these, I want you to give me the number, counting down from six, and then afterwards, I want you to say for it or against it.
Against it. Number six.
Number six. He has one of Two Face's original coins.
For it. So I've been confounded. Number five.
He has the sword of Deathstroke.
For it. Number four.
He has the shroud of a vampiric monk.
Okay, why aren't these more popular? These make sense. For it. Stupid giant penny makes no sense. Number three.
Number three. Here we go. He's got an oversized set of bowling pins.
Yeah. Yeah. Do I even need to respond to that one? Number two.
Number two. In a Dark Horse two-part crossover with a character named Grendel. And Batman 2, whatever that means, the skull... No, maybe that was what the story was called, Grendel Batman 2.
Oh, okay.
The skull of Hunter Rose is also put on display in the memorabilia room.
Yeah, he's definitely a serial killer.
Well, should we check and see what Hunter Rose is? Does it even matter?
No, probably not. One of his victims, probably the foreman on the Batcave.
Yeah,
number one.
And the number one thing... That I have
had on the runner-up list.
The runner-up list is after the Flashpoint comic book storyline, a letter written by an alternate universe Thomas Wayne, addressed to Bruce Wayne, has been laid in a display case as a reminder of Thomas Wayne's love for his son and his encouragement to move on from his tragic past.
Well, That's stupid, because if he moves on, he stops being Batman. That's the whole point of the character, is that he hasn't moved on. So, against it.
So, what's in the Batcave? Now you know.
A whole lot of crap.
Okay, now, I would also like you to count down as I talk about the vehicles that are in the Batcave.
Number
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
First the count up. Number six.
Number six. He's got a motorcycle.
Number seven.
An aircraft.
Number eight.
A watercraft.
Number nine.
The Batwing, which is in the Batman movie and in the comics and the anime series.
Fair enough. Number 10.
A single occupant supersonic jet.
Number 11.
And debuting in Detective Comics, number 667, a subway rocket.
Those were going okay up until that last one.
I didn't even mention the Batmobile.
Batmobile.
Which he keeps a fleet of both all of his current and old Batmobiles just on hand, and of regular cars of various makes and models, just in case. He even has an ambulance in case taking the Batmobile is too conspicuous.
Because when would it ever be conspicuous to take a Batmobile? Oh, my goodness.
What do you think about this? That's such a bad episode, huh?
This is depressing. Because he's my favorite comic book character, and this is absolute nonsense. He's a buffoon. This is why Batman comics suck. This is why I don't read comics. Superhero comics. This is nonsense. You'd have to be so drunk and on so many illegal substances to think any of these are a good idea to put it into the continuity. Nonsense. DC, if there's ever a case where something needs to be retconned, it's the Batcave. Enough.
Wow, that's not bad. We had a little listener feedback. Just one person wrote in.
I thought we had two.
Well, one of them was real and one of them was a joke.
Okay.
The question was, what is your favorite thing that Batman has in the Batcave?
Yes.
JW wrote himself, which I believe is a joke. But Wayne Henderson from MediaVoiceOvers.com, actually, you know, fellow podcaster, he wrote...
Why isn't he in on this whole
amazing week? Him. I don't know if I don't think he has any active podcasts right now, as far as I know, because Fringe is over.
Well, but... Wayne's always he just puts something out. He just invent a new podcast.
Wayne, if you're listening to this, let me know if you're interested in next time.
Yeah.
Wayne said the hidden driveway always fascinated me. What do you think about that?
I guess. I don't know if I'm as into the hidden driveway as Wayne.
All right. Well, that's all I got, Ben.
Okay.
What do you think? You've got some stuff too, though.
I don't know if we can have a serious discussion after all that.
Yeah, we can.
Well, here's what I wanted to think about a little bit. Okay, so obviously we have this absolute nonsense BS version of the Batcave that exists. Okay, and then you get to the movies, and the Tim Burton movies, I'd say, maybe have a middle ground. There's no stupid giant pennies in there. Or anything like that. They do have the supercomputer and some of that stuff. And then we get to the Joel Schumacher movies, and I don't think there's a giant penny in there, but the entire thing looks like something very off, since I shouldn't say what I was going to say.
Okay.
But yeah, it looks like a mess, we will say. It looks very... not what you would... It's worse than the giant penny nonsense, like everything else in that room. And then we get to Christopher Nolan, and we finally get that stark, clean, you know, slimmed down Batcave, like it would have to be. So here's my question for you, Matt. How much, in all these various interpretations of Batman and the Batcave, how much does the Batcave and how it's depicted affect... how Batman as a whole is interpreted?
Interesting question, because if you look at the Christopher Nolan one, that version is just streamlined, tech only.
Yeah.
And that's the most well-received.
Yes.
And I think the more of the crazy oversized items you have, the more silly it seems.
Yes. Now, even in the Nolan one, because I was thinking about this, and there's a couple points where he does go in a goofy direction at the Batcave. I mean, the whole reassembling the bullet and getting fingerprints off it in Dark Knight is absurd. The more he goes down that road, which thankfully he doesn't, those are like the worst points in the trilogy when we get nonsense Batman. And it's just gobbledygook, I'm going to shoot bullets into blocks of cement and get fingerprints off them. It makes no sense. And so the more we go into the ridiculous Batcave direction... the worse it gets.
I agree. Ben is right.
Ben is right. I'm not done proving my point yet, though, because the counterargument would be, well, Ben, you love the animated series.
Oh, and all that stuff is in the animated series, but that's for kids.
Well, it's for kids, but even if you could say, well, even as an adult, I enjoy it, part of the aesthetic of the show is kind of it includes absurd elements. It's obviously not meant to be grounded in reality the way that Nolan's is. So because it is more cartoony, it gets away with doing some of those things that wouldn't be accepted otherwise. So it is the exception that proves the rule. The vision of the Batcave directly impacts how seriously you can take Batman. And not only that, but it proves that comic book mainline continuity Batman will never be any good. It will never be Nolan-esque because the Batcave sucks.
Ben is right.
Wait, no, I don't think the Batcave sucks.
Yeah, Ben is right.
I think maybe an oversized chessboard isn't necessary.
Yeah.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
Ben is right.
All of you who have disagreed with me,
get in line, because it's apology time.
Well, that was a little strong.
Batcave sucks, and it means that comic book Batman will never be any good. And think about the good comics, like Frank Miller, occurs before all this nonsense in the Batcave.
I would like to read The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I should check it out. I can't borrow your copy, though, because yours is signed by Frank Miller.
That's right. I don't think I'll ever even read my copy again.
Wow.
Yeah.
I almost was with you on the Ben is right, but not that the Batcave's, not that it sucks.
It does
just
suck.
Just that maybe if you want a more serious take on Batman, you probably should keep the Batcave more streamlined.
Well, it's not just that, but it's that all this stuff is nonsense. And
it would be so easy to retcon this. All you have to do, or not even retcon, you just have to have some sort of explosion in the back.
The day the nuclear reactor goes off.
It just destroys it. Oh, that would actually be a good story. If Batman's energy source accidentally destroys a good chunk of Gotham and he's to blame, he's the villain.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a story.
Yeah. So I think you do agree with me, actually. I'm going to go ahead and claim your support.
Okay.
Because I think that you're proving my point, that you get this silly, you know, take on Batman that isn't what you and I have established on the show any good. It's just nonsense. It's crap. And so that's what you're going to get with a crappy Batcave leads to a crappy Batman. And thus is my point.
Is it anything else?
Just this.
Oh, again?
Again. I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me,
get in line, because it's apology time.
All right, Ben. Well, that's all I got from this one. You know, sometimes you think you have like a pretty good idea, and then execute.
I thought this episode was okay.
I think it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
But as I was driving here to meet you, I was like, I don't know about this.
It seemed like
it was going to be good, but maybe not. But let us know what you think. Write us at
feedback@thescifichristian.com.
You can give us a call at
612-4121-SFC.
And I think that is all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I am Ben DiVono, and I am right.
And we are the Sci-Fi Christians.
Goodbye.
Signing off.
I would say that my general reaction to all this nonsense in the Batcave would be as follows.
What the Frodo is this? What the Frodo?
You think me, man?
The Frodo?
What's going on?
Frodo! What the Frodo?
What the Frodo was DC Comics thinking? That's your final thought tonight, Sci-Fi Christian fans.
What kind of, I know we talked about taking next week off, but what kind of superhero episode should we do if we do record next week?
Oh, do we have to do another superhero episode?
Nah, we don't have to.
Yeah, let's not do a superhero episode.
I've been wanting to do top 10 superhero movies, but maybe we should wait for
that. Yeah, we need a break. We've had too much superheroes.
So we might be taking a break next week, so you might get
But we should try and do it.
You might get such great things as
I've got nothing in my life anymore.
A time loop, maybe.
This is it.
What about a time loop episode?
No.
I got a work thing, Ben.
I know.
I got
maybe I could just show up here and what would unfiltered solo Ben DiVono be for 2 hours?
How awesome would it be if we could get Ryan Serrano to finally be on an episode before it's too late?
That'd be awesome.
Because Ryan Serrano Studios will be no more soon. We'll never be able to record in this room again in under 2 months.
Well, he and I had a nice conversation waiting for Iron Man 3 to start. Yeah.
See? Yeah. Hey, let us now stop this recording. I'll do is I'll play the Podcasters Assemble commercial so that you can load up the voicemail from Daniel, and then we'll edit that back into the last episode.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to... So don't talk. The volume will be on.
Well, here, we just turn those off.
All right, here we go.
And there came a day
A day unlike any other. When Earth's geekiest podcasters found themselves united for a common theme. To take on topics no individual geek Christian podcast could withstand. Heed the call, then. For now, podcasters, assemble!
Featuring Are You Just Watching? Movie, book, and TV show reviews with critical thinking for Christians. AreYouJustWatching.com. Faith, Hope, and Nerds. Being creative and being a Christian. FaithHopeAndNerds.com. Game Store Profits. Where geek culture and God culture collide. GameStoreProfits.com. Geek This Podcast. Geek culture without the pocket protector. GeekThisPodcast.com. Geekily Yoked. The world's best married Christian geek podcast. GeekilyYoked.com. Holy Worlds Podcast. Encouraging the effective use of niche media genres for the glory of God. HolyWorlds.Posterous.com. The Sci-Fi Christian. Bringing you theology at warp speed. TheSciFiChristian.com. Storymen. The intersection of pop culture, theology, and history. Storymen.us. Strangers and Aliens. Exploring faith and imagination. StrangersandAliens.com.
Issue 1, Superheroes.